Happy 2016, Brendan.
A good back tune to you, Alan.
The Not A Thing podcast is on. I actually don't know what number it is, and I don't care, because it's 2016.
Episode, insert episode here.
It's 2016, and we're happy to be here. It's the end of 2015 was last week. Good riddance, in my opinion.
Agreed.
There was some good stuff in 2015, and we'll get into that as we go. But this is our Backtoon in review episode. For those of us, or those of you that have been with us for a while, you'll know what this is. But for any new folks to the podcast, this is our kind of look back at the year. We co-opted the Backtoon, which ended in. If you're using the official kind of calendar, Mayan calendar numbers, it ends in 2012. That was that whole thing about the Backtoon, which is, I don't even remember how many years. It was like hundreds of years, right?
And then it was a lot of years. But it ended the first year we did our year in review podcast.
Right. And so we turned it into a yearly thing. We would just do our year in review, and we call it our Backtoon in review because it sounds much more interesting than year in review.
Yeah, we've just co-opted another culture's calendar system.
It's a thing.
how American of us.
Yeah, but the podcast is still going strong. It's our this is our third one of these guys, if I'm remembering correctly. And I don't know. I am still amazed whenever I talk about the podcast with people, and I recognize how long we've been doing this show, and it's fantastic. It's been a very, very good time, and it will continue to be, as far as I'm concerned, anyway.
I do have a new Backtoon resolution, which I know we didn't prepare these.
Oh,
but I just thought of it. this year, or this Backtoon, I will be missing less episodes. Recommitting to the podcast to hopefully life will cooperate and miss less episodes.
Yeah, well, you really only missed one episode if we're talking about, you know, not being on an episode that was put out on the air. So we did have an episode where we had Jason and Todd host with me for that. So I haven't looked back to see what's happened, but
there were 3 or 4 weeks that we didn't record.
That's true.
That was on me.
Okay.
So that is more what I've. I mean, an episode happening with me not on it is. As good as it was, that's unacceptable. I'm not allowing that to happen again.
Got it. Okay. Sounds good.
No more missing weeks if I can.
That sounds reasonable. I know I do enjoy it when you're on the show. I mean, being as you're the co-host, it's great. So I'll commit to that one too. I think we'll do our best to get shows on weekly. I think if I'm going to commit to anything else, I'm going to see if I can get more guests this year. We only really had 5 shows where we had guests, and we had I think it was like 8 guests when I look back at the year, and some of those guests were folks that we've had on before. Like we've had Julie on before, we've had Skylar on. He hosted our 100th episode where he interviewed us, which I still think was fantastic.
I think we should do it again at 200.
Yeah, I mean, why not, right? And but we had let's see, Julie and Gina were on. That was for when they were going to be at Alternative Press Expo. So hosting, or rather guesting, to kind of promote that. Well, we had Jillian on. I don't remember exactly what we talked about. I think we talked about photography. And
we did talk about photography.
And let's see. So we had Jason and Todd on, and we talked about art and crafting things and a little bit of Star Wars, which was a good thing because we ended up having Todd on as a separate guest for when we did our kind of Star Wars The Force Awakens review episode. So
episode, geek out, whatever.
Yeah, so since then, I've actually seen Star Wars twice more. So I've seen it three times total now.
I am still at three times. I think I've got one more. I still want to go see it on IMAX.
So it was really interesting, and I don't want to turn this episode into a Star Wars episode. But I did, on seeing it the third time, I saw it in 2D, and I actually saw it with my folks, because they had not seen it, and we were with them on New Year's Day and talking about a bunch of things, and the movie came up, and we're just like, well, I'm not doing anything today. Let's all watch the movie together. And so we did, and it was great. We saw it in 2D in a theater in Daly City, and it was despite sitting in what I consider a suboptimal place in the theater, i.e. the very back row, it was actually the best sound of the three times that I've seen it. So I'm tempted to go see it again in like IMAX or XD or a format or a theater where the sound is deliberately like very, very good, just so I can really enjoy it, but I can actually sit in a place where I want, and that would be great. I think it really deserves as good of a production as you can get. Similarly to Hateful Eight, which we both saw, what day was that? Was that the day after Christmas?
Or was it 2 days after Christmas?
2 days after Christmas, yeah. So Hateful Eight came out on 70 millimeter at a few theaters. I think it's actually still in 70 millimeter until like Friday, I think.
It's got the wide release now though.
But I really enjoyed it. I thought it was fun to see. And I think we'll probably end up talking about this.
Spoiler alert, it made my top 10 list.
So that's exciting, because I didn't do a top 10 of movies that I saw, only because I only saw 13 movies this year.
And now we're limiting this to new releases this year.
Right. And right? I guess there's, yeah. I mean, there's probably 10 in there that I could pick, but I don't know. It'll be interesting to see yours, because I enjoy that every year is catching
your 13 makes me feel better about only seeing 27 new movies this year.
Well, other than movies, what else has kind of dominated 2015 for you? I know for me, it was finally getting a Netflix account. I think I had a Netflix account way back in the day when it was still like discs, but we reactivated it movies this year and TV, and we burned through primarily the Netflix exclusive series in order to kind of catch up on those. So we went through BoJack Horseman, which I think is fantastic. I mean it was a very surprising show from a tone point of view. I think I really was hooked in by kind of the absurdity and the humor, and then it just goes like real dark.
Yeah, it's probably the bleakest show I've seen in a while. But it's also very good.
Yeah,
both BoJack Horseman and Rick and Morty are two shows that strike a nice balance between just dark darkness and solid comedy.
Interesting. Yeah, I haven't seen Rick and Morty ever. I know Julie's seen a few, and I might have to kind of look at some to catch up. But I like that aspect of it, and I think there's something disarming about it being kind of really being a cartoon, right? It makes you think about it in a different way. So when they go to kind of darker places or stronger themes or anything like that, you're in a different mindset when they come up, and it tends to work, at least for me. So I enjoy BoJack Horseman for kind of that point of view. And then kind of in that vein of kind of humor, but with kind of that like lilt of a dark edge. I think Better Call Saul was another one of my favorites from this year. It was at the.
I still haven't watched it.
So season two is is kicking in it. In like February. So you still have time, I think.
I've got time.
Yeah, it's good. I think it's the hard part about it, and I'm really kind of wary about it is that it's set before Breaking Bad. So my concern is that they will try and link to Breaking Bad like a lot. I know they did a little bit this year, but I didn't think it was too much. My concern is that they would do that. I wouldn't mind seeing kind of Walt and Jesse in something, but I would rather see things like Gus. Like I want to see Gus's backstory. You know, the really heavy stuff. I mean, Walt and Jesse, it's like fine, but I mean, they didn't really have that much to do with Saul, because you saw all of that in the in Breaking Bad. I want to see the stuff that you haven't seen. So, what else did I see on
Netflix? Some of the other stuff from Netflix: Daredevil,
yes,
and Jessica Jones. I kind of lump those together. I enjoyed both of those.
Yeah, I like Daredevil more, I think. I thought Jessica Jones, towards the end, it got a little, I wasn't sure how to feel about the upstairs neighbor, for example, mm-hmm. and the other characters on the show. They kind of build it as a ensemble show, but I mean, other than David Tennant,
that's the whole reason I watched that show.
It was
the
like
character of Jessica Jones did not impress me that much, but yeah. David Tennant was amazing.
Yeah, so I think I'm kind of excited to see what they do with the Luke Cage show, because it looks like they're going to do a show of his, so that yes. sounds interesting. But yeah, I did watch Daredevil and Jessica Jones. I enjoyed them. I think Marvel's really doing a better job with those shows as a vehicle for creating more of a universe. Although I don't know if I want either of them in any movies necessarily. I don't think
we have to worry about that.
Yeah, I think they're obviously, you know, big characters, especially Daredevil. I mean, he gets a like full on costume.
if they're going to incorporate those characters, they should have done these shows a couple of years ago, mm-hmm. so that they can actually do Marvel Civil War correctly with an actual like all the heroes.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But they didn't do that, so I think they're going to kind of keep those separate.
Yeah. Let's see. I did end up watching Wet Hot American Summer.
Oh, I didn't put that on my list. I forgot that came out this year. Yeah, I enjoyed that.
I just kind of threw that in as a random, like, I have a few hours today. Let me burn through like a couple of these, and I ended up watching the whole season, and it was good. It was good. I think it definitely has the same kind of feel as the movie did. Which, so if you enjoy the movie, you will enjoy the show. Although I will caution you, if you did not enjoy the movie,
you will not like the show.
No, not at all.
It's a lot of the same.
Yeah.
I'd say my two favorite new shows that came out this year. The first one is Blunt Talk.
Okay.
Which was on Stars, starring Patrick Stewart as a TV host. It was written by Jonathan Ames, who did Bored to Death.
Okay.
It was absurd. It was very funny. yeah, Patrick Stewart as a drug-fueled, foul-mouthed TV host was nice to see.
Oh, that sounds fun. Okay.
Yeah, I think if it hadn't been him, I wouldn't have liked the show as much. And the other one was Ash versus Evil Dead.
Oh.
I had really, really high expectations, and I think they just had the season finale last week, and it held up. Like, it was everything you wanted. It was super gory, but funny, and also scary at times. It's a continuation of the franchise. Bruce Campbell actually did some good acting.
Well, that's cool. I think.
And Lucy Lawless. Anytime you can get Lucy Lawless on TV, I will support her.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I remember when she was on Battlestar Galactica, and it was like, whoa, okay, I'll stick with the show a little longer. I think at that point in the show, it was getting to a, like, let's have courtroom drama in space, and having a little distraction from that was really necessary. but yeah, that's cool. I think I think my favorite show this year was BoJack Horseman. I mean, catching up on it, it was great to see season one, but season two really went the extra mile for that, because season one kind of set the bar from like, this is what the tone is going to be and how much further can it go, and they went for season two. So I'm excited to see how season three comes, because I think that's this year. I think they're going for a yearly release anyway, so that'll be fun. I briefly attempted to find one of the shirts for Mr. Peanut Butter and Diane's party. It's like, I think the line on it is something like, I went to Diane's party and underlined Diane. God, why is this so hard? it's good. It really walks the line between like absurd and funny and just really, really just heavy themes. So I thought that's a good show. I honestly didn't have a lot in music this year. I was looking back at what kind of things I'd bought, and I'd bought a lot of stuff from artists that I already had. So I didn't really have a lot of new music. The one thing that I did buy that was new was the soundtrack to the game Transistor. Did you ever see that or play that?
No.
So you play a woman who's carrying this what looks like a sword that is like a silicon chip, and you're running around this environment, and you can infuse the weapon with different powers, and the powers all have like three different attributes that you can mix and match. So it's really whatever the number of powers it is times, to the third exponent, because you have that many ways that you can combine all the different things. And it's an interesting game, but the soundtrack is actually very good. I mean, I'm not sure if it's like Faster Than Light good, but it is very good. So I did pick that up this year. But yeah, I didn't pick up a lot of kind of really, really new music this year. I kind of turtled in and just picked up stuff from artists I'd heard before.
Yep, same here.
I hope that's not a sign of getting too old. I did actually, now that I think about it, the one new artist that I did see this year was Super Soul Brothers. They're a group that plays funk and soul covers of video game music. Primarily Super Mario Brothers kind of themes, but they're very good. I saw them live outdoors at Santana Row of all places, but It was just kind of a random thing, and I'd missed them the year that I had gone to Penny Arcade Expo. So it was good to see them kind of in person. Oh, that's another thing that I can speak to is what video games I kind of jumped into this year. Video games and board games, actually, now that I think about it. Because I got into Transistor, and I like it. Although, I think if I had to pick one game this year that really kind of dominated, like, how everything was going, it's actually Rock Band. Because since getting the PS4 this year, which I've actually not really exercised to that great of a degree, the only game that I've really, really played on that is Rock Band. And it just goes back to show, like, how much I enjoyed that game. I really want to be, you know, a rock star is really what it comes down to. I mean, I did play Destiny and Assassin's Creed Syndicate quite a bit, actually. I did finish Syndicate recently, but I wasn't, like, super wowed by them. They just kind of felt like the same. Whereas Rock Band, even though it literally is the same, it's just, you know, playing on plastic instruments, it's still, I think, the mechanic of how it plays and the fact that you ideally will be playing it with at least a couple more people, it's still kind of a great game for me from a social aspect. And that's really what I like. I mean, the board games that I got into this year were kind of the same as last year, although I did I was glad to play another game of Fiasco this year. God, that game's so good.
We need to play that again soon.
Yeah. How about you? Did you get any games in this year that were good? I remember you were talking about Risk and
that Risk, was that even this year? I feel like that game's never ended. That game has actually not ended for us. Ah. It's still, we never finished it. We're like 8 or 9 out of 10 games in.
Wow.
Yeah. It was actually kind of a down year for games for me. I didn't play a lot of video games. Although in December, I did get addicted to a new game, which is still an alpha game on Steam called Rust. I don't necessarily recommend it because I'm now addicted to it. So I'm working through that every day.
It sounded really interesting when you were telling me about it. Just it's an open world game, but
open world, like, survival / crafting game.
Yeah.
So it's like Minecraft, but there's a bunch of assholes trying to kill you all the time and take your stuff and tear down everything you've built. So. And it's full of people from the internet, which are always the nicest people, most racially sensitive, and just open people. No, it's a horrible place.
Yeah,
but when it's good, it's really good.
That's cool.
Those fleeting moments of joy.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to what comes out this year for games. I know the Oculus Rift is coming out. They've already put it up on pre-order for something like $600. Ignoring the part about you needing a like crazy Windows machine in order to play it, which I don't have anymore. So it would be like you're really looking at, like, you know, $1,000 or at least that much plus the $600 for the headset. I may wait. I think I'm going to wait for virtual reality.
I'll stick with reality.
Yeah.
That's free.
Here. Oh, my gosh. Well, actually, I will stick with film and video reality. I found that that's really been kind of a good escape for me. I mean, there were a lot of good movies this year. At least I think so. I mean, I only saw
13 that you saw?
All 13 that I saw. I think the weakest of the 13, if I had to pick one kind of the list, when the weakest one is, it was probably Terminator Genesis.
Oh, that didn't even make my list.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, a lot of the movies I saw were movies that needed kind of that theater experience, the you know, big sound, kind of overwhelming video, like lots of action. I don't tend to watch kind of slower pieces or anything like too heavily dramatic in a theater setting, just because I think processing those is different in a theater versus at home. But I did like, I did enjoy, you know, pretty much all of the movies I saw, maybe with the exception of Terminator Genesis. Although even that one, I kind of enjoyed seeing in a theater. It was just not a great movie.
Oh, I would have disliked it a lot more if I saw it at home. No, this was, I mean, there were some good movies this year. It was, I feel like there were less good movies out this year, or less movies out this year. Since we started doing the podcast, I started keeping track of how many new release movies I watch in a year, or by the end of the year, because sure, there's always some that I want to see, but I don't get to. But in 2013, which was the second year of the podcast, I watched 53 new release movies, which I believe is like one a week.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Uh-huh.
This year I only saw 27. That's a pretty big drop.
Yeah.
I've contributed less to the movie economy this year.
Well, life happens, as they say. It's this was kind of a busy year for me. I know that's why I saw kind of fewer movies in. But I do agree with you that there were, I think, fewer movies that felt like I needed to see in kind of a theater. I mean, there's some movies that, like, they don't have the same effect at home. Like, I watching Mad Max Furious 7, Fast and Furious 7, were, I don't think watching those at home would have the same kind of feeling. I mean, I did see both of those in D-Box, so maybe that's part of it. Until we can rig my couch to move with the movie, you know, it may not feel...
You've seen a bunch of Raspberry Pis and other equipment. Well, how about I go through my top 10 and we see how it matches up with the movies that you singled out.
Sure, yeah.
All right, so 2015 top 10 movies that I saw, not that were made because I didn't see all of them, but the ones that I saw. First up, Inside Out.
Yes.
That's on your list?
Oh, definitely. I saw that in the theater and wept an appropriate amount, I think.
Yep.
Great job, Pixar.
If you want a hero, then you're a robot. And yeah, you know how I feel about robots if you listen to this podcast.
I remember when I saw it, because Lava was the sketch just before the movie, and I remember thinking, if this is the sketch before the movie, I'm in big trouble. It was just like an emotional amuse-bouche for the weeping that was going to occur.
It's fine. Everything's fine. Yeah. Don't worry. Everything's fine. So yeah, definitely a great movie. The best animated movie I saw. Maybe one of the only animated movies I saw this year.
Yeah.
Good for all ages. I think that they should incorporate that into like the school curriculum. Kids should watch that movie.
Yeah, I agree. I think the way that it was put together really was very, I don't know, like, it's very watchable. I mean, regardless of what age you're at, you're gonna get kind of, you know, feelings from it and be able to connect to a lot of the things from it. I think it was just so nice the way they kind of talked about the way the mind works and how your mind kind of grows and evolves. It was just really well done.
Yeah, solid. That's why it made the list.
Yeah.
Next on the list is The Martian.
Yes.
From Ridley Scott.
Also a movie I saw, yeah. So I read the book. as well, and I think we talked about it a little bit on the show when it came out. And I think the book is very heavy, and I think the movie suffers from that a little bit too, in that there's kind of stretches where you're like, you're going too deep about what you're doing. And I think part of that is, it's as close as we could get to like a hard sci-fi movie this year for sure. Having that in the theaters, because it's so hard to do that without feeling like it's gone too far. Like like we're too used to having the kind of big explosion and then the next thing and then the next scene. I mean, it's
Robinson Crusoe in space.
Yeah. Yeah.
But really well done.
Mm-hmm.
Following that one, maybe one of, if I had to make a shorter list, this would definitely be on it. Ex Machina.
Huh. So I've still not seen it. I really should, though. And I have a little you more really free should. Time, so I probably can.
Yeah, actually, two of the stars from that movie, Oscar Isaacs and Domhnall Gleeson, are in another movie. I'll make it the next movie on the list. Why not? They were both also in Star Wars The Force Awakens.
Yes, yes. A movie that I have seen.
How is that not going to make the list?
Yeah. I saw that movie three times.
So did I. Yeah, I like that one a bit.
Yes.
And we don't need to talk about it because we spent a whole episode on that.
Right, exactly. 2 weeks ago, just listen to 2 weeks ago's episode. You'll get all the Star Wars The Force Awakens that you want.
Next up would be Mission Impossible Rogue Nation.
Also, movie I saw. Great. Yeah, I think you pointed that out to me, that they are doing what James Bond movies were doing, or they're putting out better James Bond movies than the James Bond franchises.
Yeah, which is funny you say that, because the next movie on my list is Spectre.
So, right. I mean, truth be told, I did enjoy Rogue Nation because I think it's a really good action film. But I think I did enjoy Spectre quite a bit. I think, and again, we talked about that on the show where we talked about Spectre. The only kind of thing that annoyed me about it was was trying to tie kind of everything together from the Daniel Craig movies. And it was really only out of sheer luck, honestly, that I watched all the Daniel Craig movies the day before. I think if I had not done that, they would have felt different watching Spectre. I mean, I liked it, but it does kind of need that universe kind of connected to it. It's harder to watch as a standalone movie.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you get to the fourth in a series of a particular actor, that kind of makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Rocky IV was really hard, but it was saved by Ivan Drago, I think.
Well, the next movie on my list is not going to get a sequel. Steve Jobs.
Oh, really? Is that the which Steve Jobs movie was that?
The Danny Boyle Steve Jobs with Michael Fassbender. Not the Ashton Kutcher one.
Right. Right, which I don't remember if that one was called Steve Jobs. It might have been, though.
I think that was just called Jobs.
Okay. Yeah, it's...
But this one was called Steve Jobs, which I could give a shit about Steve Jobs, honestly. Like, I don't care if it's historically accurate. Like, just watching it, this could have been a totally fictional movie, and it probably was. It was really well made, and it brought out emotion that... It's just a movie experience, and that's Danny Boyle. Like, he's a great director. Michael Fassbender is a great actor.
Yeah.
It felt electrifying walking out of it.
Oh, cool.
It's not a movie that's going to stick with me 5 years from now, probably. Mm. As far as, like, if you ask me the plot points, I'm not going to know. It's not a complicated movie. It was just snapshots of releases during his life, and it kind of gave an overall picture of some aspects of his life, but it was an entertaining movie. And that's what I go to the movies for, is to be entertained.
Right.
So next on the list is The Hateful Eight.
Yes. I still have only seen it the time we did, and it was a little rough watching it in 70mm from the front row, honestly.
I felt like I was in the movie. I enjoyed that.
I think it's good. I think people sit too far back generally when they go to the movie theater. I think my optimal kind of spot in most movie theaters now that they're doing the kind of tiered seating action, is to sit in the last row or the second to last row of the front part of the theater, where it's still flat or it's just slightly angled before it starts really ramping up. I don't like sitting in the upper seats, except maybe in the first row where you can put your feet up on the bar. But I mean, I feel like
closer is better.
Any further back and you might as well be watching at home. I mean, I don't know about you, but I mean, my video setup at home is pretty good, and I feel like you don't need that good of a video and sound system to kind of be good enough for home watching. And I think the if you're watching from too far back, then there's more kind of distractions too, because more people are in front of you doing God knows what, and it's a lot. It's just nicer to have that kind of, you know, that kind of full immersion feeling when you're in a theater, I guess.
Well, you definitely get that seeing a movie in Ultra Panavision in the front row.
Yes, yes.
But even if you can't see it in 70mm, go see that movie. I don't think the non 70mm version has the intermission. I think it's just straight through.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get to about the middle of the movie, get ready. You're going to see some crazy shit.
Yeah. You might.
And then the whole second half is just madness.
Yeah, just do your breath to take a breath. You know, do your best to take a breath at that point in the movie, and kind of maybe it will feel similar. But yeah, that's I think the phrase is tour de force for that movie.
Yeah. You just,
like, it has kind of a build, and then when it starts to, like, kind of deliver on everything, it like doesn't stop for the whole rest of the movie.
I think it's Sam Jackson's best performance since Pulp Fiction.
That's
like
fair.
In any movie, not just in the Tarantino movie. Any movie.
Yeah.
So only two more to go.
Okay.
Second to last is Trumbo, which I just saw last night, even though it was a 2015 release.
Huh.
With Bryan Cranston.
Oh, I don't about, know. I don't know anything
it's about
it.
Dalton Trumbo. He was a writer back in the day. He was in one of the Hollywood 10 blacklist people.
Oh, okay.
Blacklist in Hollywood when the House of Un-American Activities Committee started investigating people for communism.
Oh,
he
right.
was actually a communist.
Oh.
He also, he also won or wrote two scripts that won the Academy Award for Best Writing. One he gave to a friend to put in his name, and one he did under a pseudonym.
Okay.
So no one could accept the award, and that was while he was on the blacklist. It was a really good movie. It made me really angry about what happened back then, uh-huh. and seeing the parallels of some things that are happening now.
Sure.
But it was also very funny. Louis C.K. was in it. John Goodman was in it. They had a lot of people cast as old-time Hollywood actors. And not all of them looked exactly like the people. They didn't have the look necessarily, but they all had the presence or had something that you could see. Okay, that's definitely them. I think the most surprising one was David James Elliott, the guy who played Jag.
Uh huh.
They had him as John Wayne.
Huh.
He doesn't look like John Wayne, but his presence, and he had the voice and the walk. It was really interesting. I highly recommend that movie. Not one you necessarily need to see in the theater. It is a smaller movie, but they did an interesting job of recreating the House investigations, the testifying before Congress, and alternating between recreated film footage, so in black and white, and then cutting back to color for them being actually in the room.
Oh, interesting.
So there was some interesting editing. And it was a very different movie than my – I'm saving the best for last because this is the number one movie. This is my pick for what probably won't but should be the best picture of the year for the Oscars.
Huh.
That's going to be Mad Max Fury Road.
Yeah. Definitely my favorite movie of the year last year. Yeah. Yeah. Such a heavy, another tour de force kind of movie, but really just completely nonstop. And
complete. There's not a lot of flaws in it. It's mm-hmm. really well rounded, good acting, amazing directing, great visual work, great sound. They're saying that it will probably get the most nominations for the Oscars this year.
Huh.
They're thinking it'll get 10 for the different categories.
Yeah. Yeah, and really the such an interesting movie from a women in film angle. I mean, it really is Furiosa's movie. I mean,
yeah, it's definitely belongs to Charlize Theron.
Yeah, and I think it was cool the way it was done and put together, and such a and just so fun.
Yeah, that was. I think I saw that 4 times in the theater.
I think I only saw it twice, but I did see it in D-Box one of the times, and it was totally worth it.
I did not get to see it in D-Box. That's a regret.
Yeah,
but it was I don't know. I feel like that's gonna stick. Like of all the movies I saw this year, other than say Star Wars. When I'm thinking back 5 years from now, what was a great movie or that I still will quote, it's going to be that movie.
Yeah. Awesome. Keen. Well, that's a pretty good kind of roundup of movies. I think that's actually a pretty good roundup of the year. Honestly, we,
oh wait, I forgot I had two honorable mentions.
Oh, okay.
Didn't make the list. Sicario.
Okay.
It's great, great visual work, very intense. Benicio del Toro is great in it. And Furious 7. It's so stupid, but it's so fun.
Yeah, Sicario, I remember seeing, and I remember we were talking about it when it came out, but we ended up not bringing it up on the show because you hadn't seen it yet. I mean, I liked it. I think if I were going to compare it to any movie, it's similar in my mind to Fury, in that it has kind of it has that kind of war is hell kind of aspect to it, but instead of being World War II as it is in Fury, it's the drug war and really having
and that John Bernthal's in both of them.
That's right, totally right. Yes. Really good parts for him. Actually, in both movies, now that I think about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was, I enjoyed watching it. But similarly to Fury, I don't think I'm going to watch them again. I don't think it's going to be a movie I watch more than once. It was just so, so emotionally draining.
It was.
But,
That's why I made the honorable mention. It didn't make the top 10.
Yeah. And what was your other honorable mention?
Furious 7.
So yes, I think it exemplifies what kind of a Hollywood sequel kind of should be, but at the same time, despite whatever people were being kind of annoyed by, computer generated Paul Walker, I actually was on board for that. I thought it was a nice send off for him at the end of the movie without being, you know, too cheesy, especially because during the movie, you feel like at a couple points, it's like, oh my God, are they going to kill him right here?
That's what I thought the whole time I was watching. It was like, is this going to be it? Is this? And I think they knew they were doing that. But
yeah. Yeah.
No, it was a nice send off. It was, yeah. It hit the right tone.
Yeah. Yeah. But that was pretty good. 2015, you did okay movie wise. I'm looking forward to some things in 2016. I know there's quite a lot, like personally, that I'm looking forward to in 2016. I'm taking in a couple weeks. I'm taking a blacksmithing class. I'm kind of excited about that, only because blacksmithing is a prerequisite to Blacksmithing 2, which I'm also signed up for. But that is a prerequisite towards bladesmithing.
Sounds great.
Yes, hammering and folding your own knives and swords hopefully will be a thing. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to get to it this year, but we'll see.
Taking the first steps on a larger journey, Alan.
Yeah, there's I think if I have to look at 2016 through any lens about what it's going to be or what I'd like it to be, it's really going to be much more focused on just kind of building better relationships with people and connecting with people. I know 2015 was a lot more like shoring up of things was kind of a theme as things were going, like really trying to protect things from how they might go wrong and unbreaking things that were broken. So I'd like to avoid that as best as we can and really try and, you know, take more of the look at the human element and trying to pull that together with folks. So, I mean, if I have a resolution at all, it's really to just spend kind of more time with people.
I'm going to spend less time with people. I spent too much time with people. Any more things? I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding.
Excellent. Well, good. I'm glad that's a thing. We're going to continue doing this show as best we can. If you would like to be a guest on this show for more of a normal show, or even one where we just talk about the stuff you want to talk about, please let us know. We are looking for more guests for this Bakhtoon, and it'd be great to have you on. So tweet at us, Facebook us. Let us know via the website, and we'd be glad to have you on. In what else do we got to say here, Brandon? I don't know. I think we did pretty good. How about you?
I think we did it.
All right.
This podcast is still a thing.
Here, here. Brandon, I will talk to you next week.
Till next time, Alan.